Thank you, Pastor Rob. Makes me feel quite old, going back all those years. Hey, it's great to be here. Great honour and a privilege to be here this morning. I'm excited to be here. I'll let you know that, because none of you know me, I've come up from Balgal Beach, which is just north of Townsville. I'm actually a Victorian, and 5 years ago, just after COVID, my wife and I escaped from Victoria. We became refugees up in North Queensland. I've been married for about 43 years, and I've got four children, seven grandchildren, and I have been an ACC pastor now for 41 years. And it's good. And it's just wonderful to be here. And I've just got to say, I really have got an important message for you this morning. This message this morning is very important. And so if you're a bit tired, give yourself a bit of a shake and let's just focus in this morning, because God has got some very potent things to say. And I absolutely do believe that by the end of this message, there will be people here and you will get a massive breakthrough. Something significant will happen in your relationship with God. So that's a bit of a build-up. I guess the proof of the pudding is in the eating, as the expression goes. But I'd like to start off with this message by turning to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, this well-known verse. And I'm going to give it to you in three particular versions. This is Jesus' vision for his church. Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The New Living Transversion. I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And the Message version, I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. These words of Jesus, I believe, is the potential that Jesus sees in your church here this morning. And this is the potential that Jesus sees in you as an individual. This is how Jesus sees it. And I want to ask you a question. Do you want to see revival in your church? Do you want to see revival in your life? Well, this is how Jesus sees us. Jesus sees us as revived people. He sees this church as a church so expansive with energy, that is Holy Spirit power, that not even the gates of hell will keep it out. But I want to say this, I believe that if we are going to be people who are going to be moving in revival in these last days, and for your church to become a revival church, we need to put into place the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended into heaven. The last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended into heaven were the first words for his church. And I believe more than ever, they are the words for us today. These words is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We know these so well. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. This is the NLT version, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. These were the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended into heaven. And from this particular scripture here, there are three words that I want to highlight. We can have that slide. It's these three words here. Everyone, a witness, everywhere. You shall receive power. You. Everyone, everybody. And you shall be my witnesses, everyone, a witness everywhere. I do believe that there is going to be a massive move of God happening in Australia, and it is going to happen when we can get the revelation that it is not just the pastors and the evangelists and talented people, but if everyone recognize that they've been called to be a witness everywhere, there will be a massive revival. Can you imagine what would happen in your church if this was the case? If everybody said, "Hey, I know God's called me to be a witness," there would be a spirit of revival here. But not only that, there would be a spirit of revival within each of our hearts. And I believe that this is the way forward. I believe that this is the new move of God. And the scripture which God really showed me, it's a prophetic scripture, Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 18 to 19. Again, a well-known scripture. "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" This bit, "I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." You know, rivers speaks to us of the Holy Spirit, you know, the rivers of the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing when we come to church and we have great worship and we have great teaching and we have great times together, when we experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in church. But the new move of God, I believe that God is saying, come to church, have an encounter with God, experience the rivers, but we've got to take the rivers out of the four walls of the church. We've got to take it to the desert places, to the wilderness places. Every believer needs to be able to go to those desert places where the lost people are, where the depressed people are, where the lonely people are, where the wealthy people are who don't know God. There's going to be a move of God whereby it's not going to be confined to the four walls of the church, but there's going to be the rivers in the desert places. Praise God. And so this morning, I want to talk about how we can establish a witnessing culture. How we can get to the place where it's everyone, everywhere, a witness. Can you imagine what it would be like if this happened in the body of Christ? Everyone, everywhere, a witness. We would come to church and we'd be so on fire, we'd be rejoicing because we know that we have been out there doing something strategic for the kingdom. And so this morning, I want to share how some practical things about establishing a witnessing culture within our church. And the first thing that I want to talk about, and this is the scripture which we're going to be looking at here, is going to be Romans chapter 10 from verse 13. But if you're taking notes, the first point is this: we all need to know that all of us are called and all of us are qualified. Romans chapter 10 and verses 13 to 14 says this: "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Praise God. But this bit here: "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" Can I tell you this morning, that someone is you. That someone is us. It's everyone. You know, sometimes people, and I've heard it said many times, people say, "Oh, witnessing, that's the job of the evangelist." Well, you know, evangelists love to share their faith. There's no doubt about it. And we're told that maybe 10% of believers are evangelists or have that evangelistic call upon their life, maybe 10%. But can I tell you this? 100% of us, 100% of you have been called to be witnesses. You're not all called to be evangelists, but we've all been called to be witnesses. Praise God. And when I say witness, I'm not talking about, you know, going out on the street and accosting people and saying, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? You know, evangelists tend to do that. They sort of like doing that. But most people sort of find that a bit stressful. I'm talking about a lifestyle. I'm talking about a 24/7 lifestyle of being a witness for Christ. You know, it's wonderful to go out on a street team, you know, for 1 hour on a Saturday morning, and I think that is such an amazing ministry. But not everybody can do that. But we can all be like Jesus, being a friend of sinners. And we can all be Christ-like, and we can be a blessing. And we need to recognize that there are no exceptions. Please don't think, sit here, because I've had so many people say to me over the years, oh, that's the role of the evangelist. That's not my thing. I do this and I do that. I know you do those things. That's amazing. But you've also been called to be a witness for Christ. God has called you and God has qualified you. You are qualified. You know, some people think, oh, well, you know, when I go to Bible college, I will then be able to proclaim the gospel to people. Or when I become holy, I'll be able to be a witness. Or, you know, when I become mature, I'll be a witness. And when I reach that level, I will be confident, share my faith. No, you're qualified right now. You're qualified right now because of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit qualifies us. From day one. You know, I've got, over the years, I've had a number of friends, but when I first became a Christian, I had two very close friends. I didn't become a Christian until I was 23 years old. When I grew up, I believed in Jesus and I believed in God, but I didn't want to become a Christian because I thought that Christianity would be a really boring lifestyle. I'm telling the truth here. All of my friends, we were out there. We were fairly wild people. And the Christians I knew were so dull and boring. I thought, who'd want to be a Christian? And so I had a belief system, but I didn't want to become one. And then my best friend, who was one of the wildest people that I've ever known, walked in one day, and there's a whole bunch of us, carrying a great big Bible. And I thought, oh my goodness, what has happened to this guy? You know, he was the wildest person and he got powerfully converted. He got born again. And I thought, oh my goodness, he's become a boring Christian. And he started witnessing to me. And because he was my friend, I listened. If you'd come up to me or somebody else had come up to me, I wouldn't have listened at all. But because he was my friend, I listened. And he spoke to me. And his theology was terrible. He knew nothing about God, really. He got born again, but he was just a wild guy who got converted, knew nothing. And he would witness to me. And then after a short period of time, and I listened because he was my friend, I'm sitting in his home in Sydney and he starts preaching at me. And he's telling me about Jesus. And my heart is going, this is real. Michael, you need this. This is real. But my head was going, no, you don't need this. You don't need this. You'll lose all of your friends. You'll have to stop doing this. And my head was going, no, no, no. And my heart was going, yes, yes, yes. And it was so confusing. I said to my friend, that's it. Stop preaching at me. I don't want to hear any more about this. I was so convicted by God. So I said it to him, sitting in his kitchen in Lindfield in Sydney. He got up and he walked out, and I thought, oh, I've probably offended him now. And he walked out, and about 30 seconds later, he came back in, and the power of God literally fell upon me. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't want to become a Christian. But the power of God literally fell upon me, and it was like wave after wave after wave of love and power and joy and supernatural love and supernatural power and supernatural joy was just ripping through me. It was surging through me. I was shaking and I was in ecstasy. And I'm not talking about any drugs. It was just this surging power surging through me. And I said to my friend, I said, "What's happening to me?" Like, I've never known anything like it. It was, I cannot describe in the English language what it was, the joy, the power. It was just supernatural. And so I said, "What's happening to me?" Now, this guy has been a Christian for a few months. His theology is terrible. You know, and I'm asking him this question. He said, "Well, when you told me to shut up, I walked out." And he said, "God, Michael thinks Christianity is boring and he thinks you're boring. Please touch him with your power." Within a short period of time, I am on my knees asking Christ into my life. And there has not been there has not been 1 minute since that time that I haven't wanted to be a Christian. I want to say tonight, if you are not a Christian or you are like me thinking, "Oh, I sort of believe, but I'm just not prepared to jump off the fence," can I tell you, Christianity is described as treasure. Treasure so wonderful, so priceless, you'd give everything you could just to get it. It is life's ultimate lifestyle. But the point I want to make is this. My friend didn't qualify. He hadn't been to college. He hadn't done this. He wasn't holy. Any of that, but he witnessed and God stepped in. So and he witnessed to me on day one that he became a Christian. On day one, when I became a Christian, I woke up in the morning and I thought, "Oh, I've just been born again." Most beautiful feeling. I woke up and I thought, "I've been born again. I'm a new creation in Christ." And then I got the revelation. I thought, yesterday, I was with, in the words of the Apostle Paul, I was without God and without hope. And now I have God and I have hope. And then I thought, my large circle of friends, you know, 50, 60, whatever number of friends, I thought, none of them know God. Every one of them is without God and without hope. I was like that yesterday, but I've discovered God and I've now got hope. And then I thought, how can I possibly keep quiet about this? They are without God and without hope. How can I say nothing? And so from day one, I started witnessing, and I witnessed to my other best friend. I was so scared witnessing on day one because I'm a shy person and I'm quite introverted. You know I speak publicly, but I'm not a loud person. And I was very, very shy. I had a fear of public speaking. I invited a couple of my friends over and I thought, I'm going to tell them that I've become a Christian, but I was scared to death about it. And I put on my dark glasses so they couldn't see my eyes with the mirror lenses. And I sat there, and honestly, I sat there and I thought, I'm going to count to 10 and then I'm going to drop it. 9, 8, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. "Hey guys, last night I became a born-again Christian." I was shaking. I told them on day one. And one of my friends, well, he sort of mocked me from that time on, but my other friend was interested. And I started, with my lack of theological understanding, started witnessing to him. Then I got him along to church. And after about 2 months, I led my first friend. I saw the first convert as a young Christian, leading my other best friend to the Lord. And I will tell you, some of you would know this guy if you've been around for a while. His name's Jeff Bullock, and he wrote songs like "The Power of Your Love." And he was my best friend, and I led him to the Lord. Was I qualified? No, not in the slightest. But it was the Holy Spirit doing the work. Incidentally, Jeff Bullock now is the most on fire Christian I know. He went through a wilderness time of about 20 years. He's come through now. He's recording an album and he is so much on fire, I'm scared to talk to him. He's so on fire for God. But we all need to know this. It isn't as though we can't do anything because we don't know anything. You start witnessing on day one and you stop witnessing on the day that you go to be with the Lord. It's 24/7, your entire life. But it's not being a Bible basher. It's just flowing with the Holy Spirit, which is my second point that I want to make here. It is a Holy Spirit partnership. Now, I want to show you a scripture, Acts chapter 4, 29 to 31. Acts 4, 29, 31. The believers have now been threatened with violence and persecution and everything. They've been told, do not share your faith. And this is what happened. They start praying. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. They are praying, God, give us boldness in the midst of persecution. Stretch out your hand with healing power, with miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they preached the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit came. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is your heavenly helper. You don't have to be a Reinhard Bonnke or Billy Graham. You've just got to be you. You've just got to be you, and you've got to recognize that it's the Holy Spirit who is going to work through you. I just want to share one testimony just to show just how the Holy Spirit wants to help us with witnessing. Look, incidentally, tonight, come along at 5 o'clock, because at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be sharing how every one of us, the how-tos on how we can be a normal, natural, effective witness. I'm not going to be talking as Mike as preacher, but I'm going to be talking as Mike as a human being like you, how I am a witness 24/7 in my life. I'm just going to share that. But what I do want to say, the Holy Spirit is so important. So what happened was I left pastoring. I pastored a church in Melbourne for 27 years. I left pastoring because my heart was to see people come to Christ. That is my heart. But I've got a leak, and at that stage, I lived in Melbourne in a high-rise, 28th floor, high-rise building, apartment block. Didn't know any neighbours because it was mainly Airbnb people. The people I worked with at the church, I think all of them were Christians, tongue-in-cheek. So the people I worked with were Christians. I didn't have any neighbours. And here I am going out telling people to share their faith. And I thought, Mike, if you are telling people how to share their faith, you totally have to lead from the front. You need to be sharing your faith. And I'm saying, Lord, I just don't know any people at the moment who I can witness to. And so I can remember as clear as anything, lying on my bed, 28th floor, in the middle of winter in Melbourne, and I'm saying, God, please lead me to people who I can share my faith with. You see, the Holy Spirit was already working. My heart had been touched. I wanted to do it. I was saying, God, I'm available. The Holy Spirit had prepared me. So now I'm saying, God, lead me to somebody. And as I prayed that prayer, it was pretty full on. I had my eyes closed, and in my mind, I saw this face. My eyes were closed, and I saw a face. I just said, Lord, lead me to somebody, and this face appeared. And I thought, who is that? And then I thought, oh my goodness, I know that face. That's the guy who sometimes hangs around the shops with a blanket on the ground, sitting there asking for money. And I thought, is this a coincidence or is God leading me? I thought, well, jump out in faith, Mike. So I jumped up, got the lift down, got into my car, drove to the shops, and sure enough, he's there. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, okay, thank you, Holy Spirit, but now I'm nervous. Because I didn't know what to do. I don't Bible bash people. And so I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, help me here. And I'm walking towards him. And as I'm walking, as I got with a couple of meters away, the Holy Spirit, a thought came into my mind. I thought, this is the Holy Spirit. It was, buy him a cup of coffee, because it's in the middle of winter, it's freezing. So I went up to him. He's sitting on the ground wanting money. And I bent down and I said, hey, mate, it's really cold. Can I buy you a cup of coffee? He looks up at me and he goes, yeah, it's blinking, 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 freezing. I'll have a flat white. So I walk across the street and get him a flat white, and I went up to him and I just gave it to him. I didn't witness to him or anything because I knew I'd see him again. Gave him a cup of coffee. The next day I went up there, he's there with his mates. Anyway, started talking to him. To cut a long story short, I became his friend. I became his friend. And I would do coffees with him. I'd buy him coffees. In fact, one day he saw me and said, "Hey, let's do coffee." And then he said, and "I insist on paying." I thought the blanket must have been a good one this morning. So then I try witnessing to him. And then he says, "Please don't talk to me about God." And my heart dropped because I wanted to. I wanted to lead him to Christ. I felt for this guy. I was so upset when I left, I had tears in my eyes. Because the Holy Spirit had touched my heart. The Holy Spirit had prepared me, showed me who to go to, showed me what to do. And he gave me such compassion for this man. And I was so upset. Anyway, a short time later, he came up to me and he said, "Hey," he said, "can you help me? I have a problem." And I said, "Yeah, I can, I'll try." I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "I'm scared of dying and going to hell." And I said, "I can help you." I said, "Let's do coffee." So I walked across the road and sat down in the smoker's section where outside, and we had a coffee. And I told him the gospel, clearly explained the gospel, and he received Christ. And for me, that was the first person outside of ministry with my witnessing endeavors who I led to the Lord. And I look back, it was the Holy Spirit all the way. From start to finish, it was the Holy Spirit preparing me, leading me, touching his heart, everything. It's holy. It's a Holy Spirit partnership. So you are called, you are qualified. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. And the another thing I just want to say is this. You've got to be aware that people don't know the gospel. Sometimes we assume people know. Can I tell you they don't? I didn't know the gospel. I thought the gospel was boring. I didn't know the gospel. Most people don't know the gospel. If you were to say to somebody, "Oh, what do you think a Christian is?" They say, "Oh, a Christian. You're someone who goes to church and you're a nice, kind person and you're a religious person and you read the Bible and you make meals for sick people and you're a goody-goody and all that type of stuff." They don't know what it means to be born again. God had to blitz me with a massive power encounter, which he did, to show me that Christianity is life's number one, the most amazing experience in life. But most people don't know that. Scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:4. The New Living Translation. "Satan, who is the god small g of this world," get this, "has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is exact likeness of God." They don't know. Can I tell you, your family, your non-Christian family members probably don't know. Your neighbors don't know. Your work colleagues don't know. They think they know. They think, "Oh yes, you're a churchgoer and all of that." They don't know. And how can they believe unless somebody tells them? We need to be aware of that. One of the most moving things that has happened to me in a long time happened earlier this year when Julie and I were on holidays in Bali, and I got a phone call from my dad. Now, my father's 102 years old, and I led him to the Lord at the age of 98. That's pretty full on. I may show, I've got a 4-minute testimony of Dad's on YouTube. I may show it tonight, but at 98. Anyway, I got a phone call from Dad when I'm in Bali, and Dad said, he said, "Mike," his stepdaughter, his stepdaughter's husband, Steve, was dying. And he phoned up, he's in his 70s. Dad phoned me and said, "Mike, Steve's on his deathbed. And he's been talking to me," as in to Dad. And he said, "And I've been telling him about eternal life, that he can have the gift of eternal life." And then Steve started asking me all of these questions. And Dad said to Steve, "Steve, you better speak to Mike about this." Now, I'm on holidays. This guy's dying. And so I spoke to his wife, and his wife said, "Let's have a phone appointment." I said, "Great." And I'm ready. I'm prayed up. I'm going to lead Steve to the Lord on his deathbed. I know it's going to happen. Anyway, we had this time worked out. I get a phone call from Steve's wife, and she said, "Mike, he's lapsed into unconsciousness. You can't speak to him." I'm gutted. I am so upset. And so I'm very, very sad. Driving back from Bali, from Cairns Airport, she's on the phone. And she says, "Mike, he's just come to, and he is demanding that he speaks to you. Can you speak to him?" "Yes, yes, yes." So I've got this guy on the phone from Nashville, Tennessee. He's on the phone. This very quiet little voice, "Mike, I don't know what to do. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I'm dying. What do I do?" His family around the bed, okay? And he's saying, "What do I do?" And he just this weak little voice, and I said, I tell him John 3:16, what Christ has done, believing in Jesus. I explained the gospel really clearly and very, very quickly. And he's going, "Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I need you so badly. I need you so badly. I need you so badly. Will you forgive me? Will you forgive me?" And I'm saying, "Steve, it's okay. It's okay. God has heard you. He's heard you." And he says, I said, "You're okay, Steve." He says, "Thank you, Mike." And he got off the phone with his family and he said, "That's it. Goodbye." And he died. My goodness me, did that shake me up or what? Now the point I want to make is this. This guy was very bright. He's from Nashville, Tennessee. He was a legislator. He was a Speaker of the House. He was a politician. He lives in the Bible Belt of Nashville, Tennessee. He was so well known when he died, they lowered the flags in Tennessee in the government buildings. He was a mover shaker in Tennessee, a Bible Belt, but he didn't know the gospel. He sort of believed in Jesus, sort of. He sort of believed in God, but he'd never thought about it because no one had explained to him the message of the cross or the power of the cross. And this is what I'm saying. We've been called, we're qualified, we've got the Holy Spirit, and you are literally surrounded by family, friends, and neighbors who don't know the big picture. And how will they know unless we tell them? My final point is this, and I'm sort of cutting a few things out as I'm going here, but my final point is this. Not only do people don't know, but I've got to say, the message, the gospel message, the message of the cross is a supernatural message. It's a supernatural message. Someone isn't going to be converted because you're a good talker. Someone's going to be converted because the message is a message of salvation. The message of the cross is so important. Now, I'm going to share a story with you now, and this is probably my favorite story ever. It's pretty full on. It concerns my mother, who is now with the Lord. My mother had a massive heart to see people come to Christ. She was not a good talker at all. She had a terrible stutter. She found it very difficult to talk. But her desire to see people coming to Christ was greater than her disability. Anyway, one of her friends was on his deathbed dying. He's in hospital. So mum goes to the hospital with a view of leading him to Christ. But his family members all said to her, "Don't you dare go in there and talk religion with him." Mum was gutted by that. This guy is dying. And they say, "We forbid you to talk religion to him." Anyway, Mum went away just broken, and she thought, "Okay, I'm going to write him a letter." So she wrote him a letter with the gospel clearly explained in letter form, She went in there with this, she sent him a letter with a little booklet called The Reason Why, a booklet explaining what Christianity was, and she sent it to him. She doesn't know whether he got it. But some months later, Mum got a phone call from a young man, and the young man said, "You don't know me, but I want to tell you about a miracle that you've been involved in." And Mum's kind of, "What?" Anyway, he said, "I went to a garage sale and I bought a box of books. And in that box of books was a little booklet called The Reason Why, with a letter inside that you wrote to your friend." He said, "I bought this box of books and I read this little booklet. And then I read the letter that you wrote to your dying friend, where you wrote about what Jesus has done. And as I read that letter, my heart just exploded and I cried." And he said, "And after reading that letter, I received Christ." And he said, "I now go to C3 Church in Sydney. And since that time, I've led 4 of my friends to the Lord, all because of the letter that you wrote to your dying friend." The message is a supernatural message, and it's so important. You know, what I've since that time, what I do, and I've got some, you can grab one of these if you want, but I've got this little card here. It's called Priceless. And on the back, I've got two QR codes where I have got testimonies. I've got my dad's testimony. I've got my testimony. I've got stories. And I've got a 30-minute presentation of the message of the cross. Wherever I go, I give this to people because I understand the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. I gave it to the lady who made me coffee at the airport yesterday. I was pretty nervous. I get nervous approaching people. And I went up to her and I said, "Hey, that was a really nice coffee you made me. By the way, I'd like to give you something." Which I did. The power of the gospel. Okay, just as I come to a close here, I'm just going to say this. Everyone, a witness everywhere, will it work? Well, I want to let you know it has happened in the past and it totally worked. I just want to show you what happened in the past. The prayer meeting that we spoke about when they said, "God, give us boldness," because persecution was coming. Well, persecution came big time. Stephen was stoned. They're now in the midst of persecution. And I'll tell you what happened. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I'm sorry, I've skipped a few scriptures for the guy on the PowerPoints, but Acts 1, verse 8, "A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem," and listen to this, "and what? And all the believers," all the believers, "except the apostles, were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria." All the believers were scattered, okay? Then in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, "But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went." This was everyone, a witness everywhere. And guess what happened? Christianity took over the world. Not because of Paul or Peter, but because all of the believers who were scattered wherever they went, the old ones, the young ones, the ones who could talk well, the ones who could hardly talk, they would tell people about the most important thing you can ever tell anybody, the message of the cross. Praise God. And so tonight, if you come here at 5 o'clock, what I've been doing this morning is I've just been wanting to show you how to live a revived life. Do all your other things, worship God, spend time in His presence, pray, but put your hand up and say, "Yes, Lord, I know You've called me. Yes, Lord, I am qualified. Yes, Lord, the Holy Spirit helps me. Yes, Lord, I have got a life-saving message. I can be a hero. I can save people's lives." So I'm going to be talking about that tonight. But the final challenge that I'd like to leave you with comes from a scripture, or part of a scripture. This was a scripture I gave to my church at Ingham. I pastor at Ingham in Queensland. This is the verse I gave them at the beginning of the year. I said, this is my verse, which I want to challenge you with. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11 from the Amplified Bible. But there's a bit I want to highlight here. It says, finally, believers, and this is the final part. Finally, believers, this is 2 Corinthians 13, 11 from the Amplified Bible. Be made complete. Be what you should be. Do we have that scripture? That 2 Corinthians 1? Up there? Yeah. Thank you. Have a look at this. Finally, brothers, be strengthened, be completed, made what you ought to be. Can I say it to all of us here? We need to be complete. We need to be who we ought to be. We need to be who we ought to be. If we're going to be a Christian, let's be who we ought to be. And can I tell you, these are the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended. They were the first words he spoke to the church. He said, you're going to be my witnesses through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to leave you with one picture, one PowerPoint, which is the last PowerPoint we've got here. If I could just have the last one there. The last next PowerPoint, the final one there that we've got here. I'm sorry, I'm making it difficult for you. I just need the last one up, that last one. Is it there? No, it's not. Okay. No. Don't worry. You're already onto tonight's. Okay. This is how I'm going to finish. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Personalize it. I will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and I will be. Is that you? I will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and I will be a witness. This is what we've got to take on board, church. This is what we've got to take on board. Not a Bible basher, but a witness for Christ. Praise God. Could we all stand, please, in the presence of the Lord? Could we stand? I want to pray for you. Every eye closed. Can I ask you, is this what you want? Everyone, a witness everywhere. I know so many people here will be thinking, this is what I want, but I don't know what to do. I'm nervous. I don't know what to say. I don't know if I can do it. Yes, you can. You can. You can learn how to do it. We all have to learn how to do it. But if we can get this, Mackay will be turned upside down for God. But your life also will take on new meaning. You'll become a hero in your own heart because you know that you are doing something so important for God. Everyone, a witness everywhere. Can I pray for you this morning? Could you? I'm not going to ask people to lift up their hands if they want to be part of this, because then the people who don't have their hands lifted are going to feel awkward. So I'm going to ask every one of you, I'm going to make the assumption, every one of you is saying, yes, Lord, this is me, this is me. So can you lift up your hand and I'm going to pray for you right now. Lift up your hand right now. Heavenly Father, I lift up Mackay Christian Family Church to you. I lift up this church to you and I pray, Lord God, that this will be a church that has got a witnessing culture. I pray, Lord God, that this will be a church that there will be no empty seats, because there will be people who've been invited along to church. Lord God, I pray right now that this church is going to become a salvation center. A center of salvation, a center of healing. I thank you for the youth who are on this side. I pray there will be a revival amongst the youth, that there will be an unprecedented revival amongst the young people. But I also pray the same thing for the older people. I pray for this church. This church Everybody will say, yes, Lord, I'm available. I want to be a witness. Holy Spirit, show me how to do it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Okay, just praise God. Just put your hands down for a minute. If I could just have your eyes closed at this moment as well. I spoke earlier about the fact when I was a young man, I had a bit of a belief, but I didn't want to become a Christian. I did not know how good Christianity was. I didn't understand how important it was. I don't know anybody here except for a couple of people who I've met. So it could well be that in this meeting this morning, you may be here and you're sitting here and thinking, Mike, this is my time. I want to live for God. Today I just really feel that I need to make a stand for Jesus. I need to know Him. If that is you this morning, I want to tell you that Christianity is described as being priceless treasure, but it's hidden in the ground. And for some people, it's been hidden, but this morning God wants you to find it. God wants you to find that treasure. There are some people here this morning also, and maybe you're here and you're thinking, gosh, if I'm to be honest, Pastor Mike, I think I've become a little bit like the prodigal son. I've known God before, but I'm just not with Him at the moment. This morning, I feel in my heart that I want to recommit my life to Christ and I want to go all the way with God. You may be here this morning thinking, I don't even know whether I am a Christian. I wish I had. Mike, you seem to be so passionate about this. You've got such a confidence. You can too. God wants you to have a confident faith. Look, this morning, what I'm saying is this. If you're here this morning and you want to make your peace with God, you want to discover Christ for the first time, you want to rededicate your life to Christ, you want to know that you're born again, while every believer is praying with their eyes shut, let me know so I can include you in this prayer by lifting up your hand to say, Pastor, that's me. Today is my day. Lift up. Okay, I can see hands lifted. Yeah, there's a lot of hands lifted, actually. Seriously, for so many of you, this is your day today. God has touched you. It's like there's a window of opportunity that has opened and you're thinking, I need to walk through. Now, that is the case. Now, I'm going to be praying for you right now. Okay, church, I want all of you to pray this powerful, powerful prayer this morning. Pray this, excuse me, pray this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you are the Son of God, that you died for the sin of the world. And that includes my sin. This morning, Lord, I put my faith in you. I believe in you. I want to know you as my Lord and Savior. I want to come back to you. I want to commit my life to you. Jesus, I acknowledge you right now as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Come into my life right now, Lord, I receive you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap this morning. Let's acknowledge Him this morning.